Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Let's talk about the match. If you didn't get a chance to see it, maybe some of you did, some of you didn't. The match was a charity golf outing that pitted the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors, and Mahomes and Kelce dominated from the start. They were huge underdogs in this by the Vegas odds. There was live betting. It was happening in Las Vegas. Big crowd of folks following around on a 100-degree day as Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and guys like Draymond Green, who some reason had a microphone and was walking around on the course with him and just got hammered and sort of made a fool of himself, had a great time playing for charity. Well, everybody had a great time, says Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's not very good, so he was a little embarrassed by being out there, hitting some terrible shots and not really contributing for their team. Steph Curry's a pretty good golfer and was considered to be the best of the four, but he was actually outplayed by Travis Kelce, who's sort of just learning how to play, but obviously has tremendous skill, soft hands, can chip and putt the ball around the green. And I know Steph Curry was taken off his game by Patrick Mahomes, who did not shut up the entire time. I cannot. Here's my takeaway. Forget the golf because, okay, they won. It was fun. It's always great to see Mahomes and Kelce win. Forget the golf. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a defensive end playing against the Chiefs. They come from behind. They beat you in the fourth quarter. You're trying to sack Mahomes. You can't get there. And he is just trash talking your ass off because this guy is one of the lippiest people I've ever seen. And he did it the entire time on the golf course. Now, he's our guy and everybody loves that. And you don't think much of it. But if you play golf, you know, there's a fine line between ribbing your friends that you play with or playing with people you're not really close to and don't really know that well, which is the case with Mahomes and Kelce against Curry and Thompson. They know them, but they're not best friends. They don't hang out. They play different sports. It had to be the single most annoying day of Steph Curry's life on a golf course. Mahomes would not stop riding these guys, commenting on every shot. Oh, that's way short. Oh, that's not good. Oh, don't be afraid of the hole. Every shot. Ooh, that looks like it's going to be in the mulch. That one hit a tree. I mean, every single shot they hit, Mahomes was commenting on their shots, not just his. And it just wore me out. As I kept going, and Jessica didn't like hearing this. Nobody likes hearing this. It's just me. And it's not that I don't make comments on a golf course. Dude, when somebody hits a bad shot, it's time to be quiet. It's just time to be quiet. Golf's too hard. Mahomes did nothing but hit bad shots. I mean, he couldn't hit a fairway to save his rear. I mean, Kelce was just taking it from Mahomes, too. It's like Mahomes was just coaching him. Hey, it goes this way. Hey, aim this way. Go there. Do this. It's 182 yards. Just one thing after another, barking orders at Kelce on how to play until about halfway through, I'll give Mahomes credit, he realized Kelce was playing better. And so Mahomes, toward the end, actually hit first a couple times. You know, Mahomes kind of fancied himself, hey, I'm the captain of the team. Kelce, you're a newbie at this. You go first, I'll go second because I'm the better player. But Kelce outplayed everybody in this thing. He birdied a par five all on his own, all four shots on his home without any help from Mahomes. He made the putt to seal it. There's just he was great. And Kelce, in my mind, was the shining star of the event. If you want to play golf with one of the four guys in this group, it's not Steph Curry. He's too quiet. Klay Thompson never looked comfortable. Seems like a nice guy. It would probably be fun to play golf with him, but this was not his stage, clearly. Kelce's the one. He had fun the whole time, but wasn't chirping while the other guys were hitting or commenting on their shots. And then when they interviewed him on TV, Kelce was fantastic. He was funny. He was clever. He was witty. Travis Kelce, to me, was the star of the match, and I don't think anybody's takeaway from it is that. Everyone's takeaway is Mahomes was, you know, the first year they did this, Phil Mickelson was part of it. He's been part of it more than once. And Phil's that way. Phil's like Mahomes. He just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and comments on everything. And I think Charles Barkley maybe was his partner one year. And it got uncomfortable the way he was trying to coach Barkley while they were playing. It's like, just let him play. You know, Barkley's Barkley. He's going to be funny. It's going to be good. It was the same thing with Kelce. Just let him play. And after a while, Mahomes backed off Kelce a little bit. And so it was fun. But I don't know what kind of ratings they get. I suspect they're going to want Mahomes back next year because he does kind of carry the broadcast. You have to have one really type A personality to carry the broadcast. But I feel like if Mahomes wasn't there doing that, Kelce would have talked more and taken more of that role. But the other two guys, the NBA guys, very quiet and just playing their golf. It will be interesting to see who accepts an offer to play against Mahomes again. Because I'll say this, and I mean this with all due respect, and I love this as the quarterback, because I don't want to be the defensive end out there trying to sack him, getting my butt beat by Patrick Mahomes, because I can't imagine the lippiness and the stuff that he's saying. It would just infuriate you. And it clearly is part of his game. And he clearly affected Steph Curry. There's no doubt about it. His game plan was to go out and affect Steph Curry on the golf course, and he did it. Steph Curry was awful. He is a much better player than he showed. It was no fun just getting your butt ridden all day by Patrick Mahomes, which is what he was doing. It couldn't have been any fun. And you can see how that works for Mahomes and has worked for Mahomes in athletics. But I'll say this. It's a good thing he's Patrick Mahomes and that he's a great football player and all that, because nobody want to play golf with that guy. Nobody. Unless he's Patrick Mahomes, nobody wants to play with that guy. And I'm not being a golf snob. I don't care. I don't care what you wear, how you play, whatever. Just agree to the rules of the match or the game or whatever before you start. I mean, this was a scramble for crying out loud. It's fine. I love it. It's great. It's a fun event. That guy, you wouldn't keep him in your group long. If he was just a guy out there working at, you know, Cerner or something, and he was in your group, you wouldn't keep him long. You just would not keep him long. I can promise you that. It was a lot of fun. They raised some money for charity. The awkward moment was they all four missed the green on the first par three, and the closest to the hole was going to win $100,000 for charity. Mahomes turns around and says, sorry, everybody, no $100,000 for the kids. They can't eat. Nobody hit the green. Well, that wasn't the case. Somebody was closest no matter what. You didn't have to be on the green. It was a really weird moment when he said that to everybody in the crowd, and I thought, oh, boy. Anyway, the match is over. Of course, Mahomes and Kelce won. And if you bet on it, you made really good money because they were huge underdogs in this thing. I think everybody coming in thought, okay, Steph Curry's way better than Patrick Mahomes, and he is way better than Patrick Mahomes, but Kelce's nothing. We'll add nothing. Like, we'll add nothing was the thought coming in, and Kelce was the star of the thing and just hit one good shot after another. Oh, he hit bad shots too. I mean, none of these players are good enough that they look like pros or anything like that, but Kelce, nice hands around the green, hit some nice chip shots, made a couple of putts. When he hits it straight, it goes a mile. He's the longest hitter out there of those four when he hits it. So a lot of fun with the match. It is 4th of July holiday weekend coming up, and we hope you and your family have a very safe holiday and fun holiday celebrating America. We'll be headed back down to Lake Fort Scott with some friends this weekend where we're going to set off some fireworks. A lot of folks around the lake shoot fireworks off their dock or their properties out over the lake. There's a lot of cool things in Fort Scott. As I've gotten older, I enjoy more and more getting out of the city and getting to places that feel more like America. And Fort Scott is one of those places, without a doubt. There is another place. If I asked you, where is the biggest fireworks show in the Midwest? I don't know what your answer would be. You probably have a tradition or go to a place and think the one you see is the best. But it's we mentioned this on a patron podcast earlier this week. The largest fireworks display in the Midwest is believed to be in Wamego, Kansas, which is just 15 minutes from Manhattan. It is between Topeka and Manhattan. It is off 24 Highway, not I-70, so it's off 24 Highway. If you don't know where Wamego is, I've got some friends in Wamego. We know Thomas Vanderbilt, who owns Vanderbilt Work Boots, Vanderbilt Boot Centers. Great guy, great family. Some other folks in Wamego. I've played golf with some of them in Manhattan from time to time. They got a nice little golf course there in Wamego. It's a great town. It's home of the Oz Museum. But for their fireworks show this weekend, some 50,000 people will show up in Wamego from all over. And I mean all over. What's unique about it is they have a 225,000 square foot area on the edge of town, basically in a farm field, for lack of a better term. And this thing started in the 90s with a couple of volunteers in Wamego. And now it has led to a point where they got about 180 donors, a couple of dozen people, I think, that volunteer and help and put this thing on. And it is massive. It is one mortar shell after another. It is rapid fire. It's expected to go 40 minutes. They actually have fireworks that are amber waves of grain that blast up into the sky as Ray Charles is singing. They sync it up on the radio, do the whole thing. It is believed to be the largest fireworks show anywhere in the Midwest. So I texted my buddy Andy because I don't know the hotel business very well at all. I know the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan is fantastic, and I know they got a couple of little hotels in Wamego, but they're always full for this, that you can't get in. So I texted my buddy Andy. I said, hey, you got rooms at the Bluemont Hotel around this thing? And he goes, yeah, yeah. Not only that, we'll do a discount for your listeners. $85 if you want to go out and spend the night after the fireworks show. You can stay at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan. It's maybe a 15-minute drive, maybe 20, to where you're going to see these fireworks in Wamego. From the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, you can do it online with the promo code KKHI, $85 for a night. So they're not busy, obviously, this holiday weekend. $85 at the Bluemont Hotel. You mentioned the podcast. You can walk in and get that rate, or you can go to BluemontHotel.com and book it and use the promo code KKHI and get the $85 rate. $85 July 2nd through the 5th. So obviously the hotel is in no danger of filling up over the holiday weekend. You can do it in person. You mention it right at the counter. You listen to the podcast, $85 rooms, Bluemont Hotel, July 2nd through the 5th. If you want to go out or visit some people there or go to the lake or the lakes in the area there or go to the fireworks show, the Wamego fireworks show, I have not been there. I've talked to several people who have. They say it is absolutely insane. You get so close. The cool part is you can watch from 360 degrees around it. That's how they get so many people around it. It's out in the farm field. There's all kinds of roads, rural roads, areas, county roads. You could pull out on those, just kind of tailgate on the side in your truck or whatever you want to do. Get your lawn chairs out, take your own cooler, whatever it may be. But they have space for all these people because it's out in the open and you can get 365 degrees around it. It's really, really cool. And if you want to spend the night, I can't more highly recommend the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan. $85. This is like a 4.5-star hotel, folks. $85 if you want to go to the fireworks show, July 2nd through 5th at the Bluemont Hotel. Enjoy and congratulations, Wamego. You are the spirit of America. Truly, these are the types of things that are the spirit of America. When cities everywhere are shutting down fireworks shows because their government's overspending on other things, it's cool to see private citizens step up and say, not here, not in our community. We're going to make a difference. We're going to have this. Wamego is going to be known for this, and it's really, really cool. Way to go. Royals Chairman John Sherman had a news conference on Thursday. He said, quote, it's time to leave the K, end quote. He said there's urgency from the Royals and from politicians. And he sort of, with the urgency comments, I think created a seed or an undertone of, he doesn't say it. He's not going to say it. He's saying by the end of the summer, they're going to decide on a location for a new stadium, whether it's the East Village, which sounds really nice for the worst part of Kansas City, or across the river in the Northland. And he said they'll decide by the end of summer. He also said they're ready to spend money on free agents, but they have no core to their team, so there's no point in it yet. It was a fine news conference. Hearing him go back and forth, talking about stadium issues and his crappy baseball team. But we finally got a couple details. He says, we're going to decide by the end of the summer. He wants the 3/8 cent sales tax on the ballot in April and said the hard part out loud, and that is if the Royals and the Chiefs are together on the ballot next April, this won't fail. So he's already saying, we want the 3/8 cent sales tax to continue because it's a continuance of what they already have, basically. We want it to continue, and we believe we have to vote on this. We believe if we vote on this, they'll say it's not a new tax. It's already in existence, blah, blah, blah. The Chiefs are on it, and it won't fail. So this guy has turned into a beg, borrow, and stealer. That's basically what he's doing. He wants $350 million base financing, whatever that means. He says they'll put a private amount in of $1 billion. Which I believe that's the ballpark village. That's more revenue for more things around there. That's development. That's good for Kansas City. I'm not talking bad about the $1 billion they're putting in. That's 1.35. That leaves $650 million unaccounted for here that we don't know where it's coming from before we have cost overruns. There's just so many holes in this. I'm not... Look, I'm not great at math, and I'm not saying I'm great at business. You know, I'm a simple guy. I like to pay for things. I don't like to borrow money. I like to bring in more than I spend out. That's it. Put some money away for retirement. That's been my thing. I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, you want the tax money. It's already on the books. You think that's a $350 million base financing. You're bringing a billion. That's 1.35. We know your billion's not going into the stadium. It's going into commerce and things you can make money on around the stadium. Now we need $650 million more, and I don't know where that's coming from. And that's before, remember, the airport costs 50% more than they said. 50% more. So if he's saying $2 billion, we got to figure at least 2.5, at least with cost overruns. I don't know, man. I don't know. I know this. The single best financial move for John Sherman, and this is the scary part, and anyone else that's along for the ride, and he's got some, you know, Wall Street type investors. He's got people in this group. Edgerly, he's got a pile of money in this thing. The billionaire that was at Bain Capital still is. Very silent partners. The best move for their money isn't downtown Kansas City. The best move for their money is downtown Nashville. That's without a doubt their best move. He doesn't say it. I'll be the bad guy. I'll say it. Is that on the table? I have no idea. All I know is if the Royals called Nashville, this thing would be done. Then you take investors in. You don't even need tax dollars if you're going to Nashville. You can build your own damn stadium because the money is going to flow like crazy in Nashville. It's the same reason the A's are moving to Vegas. The A's are a struggling franchise. They've been in Oakland forever. They're going to Vegas, and they're going to kill it. They're going to go from the worst team in baseball with the lowest payroll. I guarantee you, within 2 years of going into a new stadium, the Oakland A's will be in the top 10 in payroll. The top third in Major League Baseball in payroll. It will be instantaneous, and they will get better, and they will be good, and people in Vegas will go. And it's going to be a winner. And financially for the ownership, they'll make billions. They will make billions, not millions. They will make billions. The Royals could do the same thing in Nash Vegas. They're not threatening it. I don't think they're going to do it. I think it's a local ownership group. I'm not suggesting they are, but you better believe they know they can. So we'll see how this goes as they select a site. Then apparently we're going to vote on something in April. Sounds like it's going to be the continuation of the current tax that's in place. So that will probably be a yes vote, and the Chiefs will be attached to that. But I need a lot more information on the rest of this money. A lot more information. I was at Kauffman Stadium on Thursday afternoon. We like to pick the 101 degree days to go to the games, and it was a well-pitched game, not a particularly well-played game. There were stakes made, little pop-ups that fell in, picked off runners, some errors. You notice these things more when you're at the game than when you're watching on TV. Royals came back pretty dramatic fashion and had a walk-off win. Pretty cool stuff in a low-scoring game against the Guardians, who had moved into first place and they had control of this game. It's 2-0, you know, in the eighth inning. Royals are coming to bat in the eighth. They've only got a couple of hits at this point. I mean, there's been no action. And the Royals pull it out. So good for them. It was fun to see them win a game at the stadium. As we walked around, you know, there's a lot of reminders out there at Kauffman Stadium when you walk around. I know Kansas Cityans have a way of saying we love it. We love the parking. We love the fountains. We love this. We love that. That is an old stadium. And the problem with our old stadium is it's not a classic old stadium. It's from that really terrible sports architecture era of the late 60s and 70s, where everything was sort of circular. And most cities were building multi-purpose stadiums that have now been torn down because they were bad ideas from the beginning, where you played football and baseball, where the team shared the facility. We didn't do that here, but we didn't really build a gem at Kauffman Stadium. Of course, there's some things to like about it. There's no question about that. But it's looking old in a lot of places. And it's sometimes it's the little things. Like we were in section 123, which is right behind the batter's circle of the visiting team. And I went up to go to the bathroom in the concourse, and the men's room there has a door like the size of, and the door's propped open. The door is propped open. It's the size of the door into my office here. And so there's two or three dudes coming out. You got to stop. There's no going in or out at the same time. It's just little things like that. Now, there's nobody at the game, so there's no big long lines or crowds or whatever. It's just like, wow, I can't believe this doorway is this small into this men's room. It's just bizarre. You'd notice things after you're at newer stadiums or different facilities or whatever. You notice things at Kauffman Stadium and you go, wow, okay, this is old. This is really old. You see some peeling concrete. You see a lot of things that need to be just painted and cleaned up at Kauffman Stadium. Again, I'm not bad-mouthing the stadium. I believe it would be great if the Royals could get a new stadium. I've said all along, I want a new stadium. Downtown is great with me. I just don't want them to circle back in 10 years and say, we blew it. We should have built it where all the white people are. Because a lot of these teams are going out of downtown to the suburbs where the white people are. Royals want to go downtown. I'm totally good with that. As long as the Royals' private investment in this thing is massive. Because they're going to benefit. The burden should not be on the taxpayers. The taxpayers want to vote yes and chip in, go for it. But the real burden here, you know, I don't think people know this. There's financing options available for these teams. There are funds in baseball and the NFL where you can borrow the money from the league. All the owners contribute it to it through the revenues every year. Money goes into funds for new facilities. They're pretty smart. They're their own bankers. Then they borrow the money at a way lower cost than what you would get financing it privately or through banks, whatever. So the Chiefs and Royals will both have this at their disposal to go borrow this money at a ridiculously low rate, and they will no doubt take advantage of that. That's why I know stadiums can be built without any vote, and I don't think the Royals are exempt from that. If they play their cards right and the revenues are going to go up and they know what's on the table and they get the proper financing, borrow the money. Get your private capital and borrow the rest. Don't be asking too much from us. If all they want is the continuation of this sales tax that's been around for I don't know how many decades, done deal. Rubber stamp this thing. Go Royals, go. Build whatever you want to build. But I got to think that we haven't heard the hammer yet. We're hearing a continuation of something they've been receiving. That doesn't sound right to me. Does it sound to you like the Royals can build a stadium with the only public financing being something they've been getting every year no matter what? Doesn't sound right to me. I guess we shall see. KKHI is brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. That's R as in Ron Buck. rbuckroofing.com. They're available 24/7. They also do free roof inspections. Make the call, 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head and your business's head. You got a business or a building or a property or a warehouse? Buck Roofing will do that as well. North Kansas City Dental is online at nkcdental.com. Not too far from the site where the Royals may be building a stadium is where he's located, at Armour and Swift. This should be your new dentist. Everybody goes to the dentist. Many of you don't even know who your dentist is, and you don't go often enough. You should go. I'm not going to beat you over the head and say, every 6 months, routine, you have to, whatever. I know, people don't like to go to the dentist. You'll like going to NKC Dental. They have offices in Westwood, Kansas, or North Kansas City at Armour and Swift. You're going to love these folks with your regular dental care by the dentist of the Chiefs players, Dr. Bill Bush, online at nkcdental.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. If you're staying in town this weekend, you're looking for that new ride, swing on out to Excelsior Springs for a day trip. They have all kinds of fun 4th of July weekends events going on in Excelsior Springs. That's another great place that feels like America. Man, you get to Excelsior, you're like, I'm in America. This is it. Now, you do see about a million Trump flags and a whole bunch of bumper stickers say, don't tread on me, maybe a biker here and there. It is just an awesome scene. Excelsior is just fantastic. So you know the kind of people that live there and work at Roberts Robinson. They're going to treat you right. They're going to be honest. They'll repair your car properly for the price they say and treat you with a smile. If you're looking for a new ride, they've got them new and used right there, robertsrobinson.com. Plenty of cars in stock now. Or have it built. It's home of the lifetime warranty. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick, GMC. We are professional grade. Okay, on to the news and big news on Thursday, and that is the Supreme Court just slapping down affirmative action. Affirmative action was racist from the start. It basically said, we're going to identify people based on their skin color, and we're going to treat them better depending on their skin color. Now, forget the colors of the skin or the races. It doesn't matter. We're going to selectively, through affirmative action, by everyone's account, try to help black people in America. This was reparations. Affirmative action was reparations. We talk about reparations of families that are descendants of slaves. Barack Obama's, you know, great-great-great-grandparents were slave owners. Done. Slave owners. So there goes your argument for against reparations in America. But he became president. I don't think the reparations are necessary when we have a black man whose ancestors were slave owners as president of the United States. We've probably fixed our problem here. If that's not enough, I don't know what is. The rest is on individual people. It becomes cultural. It becomes societal. It can be faith-based. It can be education-based. It can be, what are you taught at home? Are you encouraged to go to college? Are you not encouraged to go to college? Do your parents let you drop out of school? There's a million factors in what young people growing up become in this country. And you don't do it all on your own. You need a lot of help growing up. You need guidance. It can be done without any of that. You can grow up in the worst of circumstances and turn into something great. But we know it's harder. The home is where it matters. Your upbringing gives you the best chance at having a quality life. We know that. So we go out of our way all these years and have affirmative action, and we do things like allow colleges like Harvard and North Carolina, who were part of this lawsuit in the Supreme Court, that said, this is unfair. We see the statistics. They're asking everyone on their application, are you black, Hispanic, white, Asian, other, Native American, other, whatever? And now we see the acceptance rates at these schools, and it is clearly racist. This was a slam dunk. There was no way to lose this case. Listen to these numbers. Harvard University, your percentage chance of being accepted if you are black and you apply at Harvard was 56.1%. If you were white, your chance of being accepted was 15%. So you're three and a half times more likely to be accepted if you're black than white applying at Harvard. That's racism. And clearly it's what they wanted to do because they were defending their policies here to the hilt. Best part of this case, it was brought on behalf of Asian Americans. Asian Americans have it even worse. Again, black, 56.1, Asian, 12.7. That's your percentage chance of getting in if you're Asian and you apply at Harvard. To put it in simpler terms, if you're a black student in the 40th percentile of all applicants, you know how the scales work, right? If you're black and 100 people have applied at Harvard and you're only in the 40th percentile, that means 60% of the applicants are better than you with your credentials, with whatever. You're only in the 40th percentile here. You are more likely to get in than an Asian at the 100th percentile. That is astounding. That alone ends affirmative action. You drop that in front of people and you go, okay, we developed this program and what we have now, I don't ever call it reverse racism. It's just racism. It's Harvard saying, we don't want the Asians, we want the blacks. That's what they did. And you have to check on the box who and what you are. And we've got a slew of stories of Asian American students out there who statistically, we know, are the best students in America. Percentage-wise, per capita, of how many Asian Americans are, they're the best and brightest students in this country. Asian Americans are. They just are. So we know that they stopped checking the box when they were applying. They didn't want you to know. Many times, their name would give it away. What the Supreme Court said is, you can't ask people anymore. You can do it on merit. You can do whatever you want. If you need a basketball player at Harvard and he's in the 28th percentile, you can take a basketball player because you need a basketball player. And that's the argument they made in front of the Supreme Court. They literally made the argument of, well, you know, if we need an oboe player for the symphony, they're more likely to get in than somebody that doesn't play the oboe. And the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court slapped down that lawyer representing Harvard and said the Constitution and affirmative action were not designed and written for oboe players. Oh my God, did they slap him down? This was the easiest case ever. Affirmative action has always been wrong. It's the point of it in your heart. Again, the idea of it was good. There was something good there. Let's not discriminate against people of color. That's great. Let's not. We don't. Now we discriminate of people. Honest to God, you can just find it everywhere. There's so much discrimination against white people, it's frightening. But that's okay, right? That's a given, that's okay. Whatever. So we see it in this case. And the remarkable part is Ketanji Brown Jackson, or Jackson Brown, Brown Jackson, you know her. She's the one that's on the Supreme Court because of affirmative action. That's why she's on there. This woman is on the Supreme Court because of affirmative action. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm certainly not a Supreme Court justice. She's a legal scholar from the Ivy League on the Supreme Court. And what did she wrote in her official dissent to this, because she was in the minority, they lost. She said the majority, the ruling part of this case that struck it down, has a, quote, let them eat cake attitude, unquote. Now, how Supreme Court does that sound? That when you are on the Supreme Court and you write in your dissent that the people who voted in the majority to strike this down have a, quote, let them eat cake attitude, unquote, you're basically saying, I have no legal argument. I have no legal argument. I'm just going to point them out as terrible people that hate, that are racist, including Clarence Thomas, who's black, who wrote the most unbelievably eloquent and brilliant majority opinion you've ever seen on this issue. Oh, no, but not Ketanji Brown Jackson. Let them eat cake attitude. That's exactly what you say when you have no legal standing. And she knows it. And these numbers are incredible. It's ridiculous how much racism there is out there in going to college. I always leave it to the Babylon Bee to summarize this in a beautiful way and in a nutshell as to what's wrong in America. With humor, unafraid to offend anyone. So I'll repeat their headline and their joke that they put up yesterday after this. It said, Harvard, unable to ask about race, finds a new way for admission standards. And it says their new question, instead of what is your race, it will say, what is your favorite condiment? Barbecue sauce, soy sauce, or ranch dressing? That's horrible. And they didn't put salsa in there, which they could have. Here's the weird part. I like barbecue sauce, soy sauce, and salsa a lot. But I don't really care for ranch dressing much. The humor there is the slam on white people, the ranch dressing. That's damn funny. That is really funny. Now, a lot of people be offended by that and say, oh, barbecue sauce is racist. Soy sauce is racist. The ranch dressing is the funny part because it's not ketchup. It's ranch dressing. What's whiter than ranch dressing? Oh, my God. That's so funny. And I guess they could. They could ask on your application. I think there should be a law that you do these things blindly, that you don't even put in your name or your gender. Can they ask gender on these? We're not supposed to do that, right? I think they should all be blind. Take the best students to see who shows up. Let's look at your scores. Let's do it based on merit. We don't know your name. We don't know where you're from. We don't know anything about you. Just here's your credentials, and let's decide who's in and who's not. Wouldn't you think that a college would want to do it that way? If they want to protect being prestigious and the best university, wouldn't you think they'd want to do it that way? EarthFX Outdoor Living wants to be your landscape company, whether you need just a little bit of work done or you're looking for some big project. Hey, you can get it done by this fall and enjoy the outdoors when it cools off in a couple of months. Wouldn't it be great to have a nice new fire pit outside or build a little outdoor bar, patio, maybe with a pergola over it or something like that, and a fire strip down the center that you can enjoy, and maybe even put in a TV outside that they can build something to make sure it's covered up. You can watch Chiefs games out there and things like that. How fun does that sound? EarthFX Outdoor Living online, eeoutdoor.com. They love hardscapes. They do all the hardscape work, but they also do regular landscaping, as they did for me, building a berm in my side yard, bringing in a couple, three more trees. Beautiful work they did for me. eeoutdoor.com. That's eeoutdoor.com, 816-478-7700. Joslyn's Jewelry, if you're sticking around this holiday weekend, maybe swing into Joslyn's, see what they got going on in there. They'll polish, if nothing else, you want to dream a little bit or take a look. They'll also clean and polish your jewelry while you visit. The store at Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. MyPillow.com, we really appreciate all of you using the promo code KKHI. It supports the podcast. That's the only way MyPillow will support the podcast. It's just kind of different. It's based on sales and things like that. So right now they've got an incredible towel sale going on. If you need some good thirsty towels, go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code KKHI. Or if you're looking for a mattress topper or the sheets are on sale, they have a four pack of pillows right now for $99 at MyPillow.com. That's two MyPillows and two travel pillows, just $99. It's all online at MyPillow.com or MyStore.com. The promo code is KKHI. Mayor Q, it's leaking out, is going to run for Senate. Doggone it, I didn't see this one coming. I thought it's still part of his plan. I think his plan is, I'm a long shot, not going to happen. I'm not going to win in Missouri. But then, as the losing candidate, as we see so often, losing candidates like Carrie Lake lost in Arizona, and she's bigger now than when she was running. You can be the losing candidate and still be a big deal. Everyone believes Quentin Lucas just wants to get a D.C. appointment of some sort. Okay, that he'll, and he could go establish residency there. He could live in Virginia, establish residency, and wind up running for office in Virginia or something like that. So a lot of people think he just wants to be appointed after next November's elections and go become part of the swamp. The guy's dying to be a swamp creature. Let's just be honest. He's just dying to be a swamp creature. Now it's leaking out that he may run for Senate next November of 24, against Josh Hawley in Missouri. That will not end well for Mayor Q. He won't win. He'll get lots of votes in Kansas City and St. Louis. He's going to get a lot of resistance everywhere else. Missouri is decidedly red. But I guess he figures this would get him on CNN a lot, MSNBC, a lot of interviews, get his name out there. There's no shame in losing in states where it is perceived that you can't win. In other words, if you're a Republican and you lose in California, you're not that embarrassed. You can still be a good candidate and lose there. I think that's his play. That's what he's thinking here, attempting to run for Senate. I have no doubt if Mayor Lucas runs for Senate, he'll be the Democrat nominee in Missouri. I don't think there's any other Democrats going to, I think he'll be the guy. He's got the connections. Cleaver will be behind it. He's got all kinds of people behind him. I have no doubt that he'll win the Democrat primary if he runs. Zero doubt. I just don't think he beats Josh Hawley. And I don't think it's close. But I guess it's always good to know that that's what Mayor Q's up to and what he wants to do next. Geraldo Rivera announced on Friday morning that he has left Fox News. And it was really a little awkward at the beginning. He said, well, they fired me from The Five, which is the show that's on at 4. They fired me from The Five, and you immediately begin to wonder, he got in these fights with Gutfeld. There would be people on the set that they'd get into disagreements because he would be the one that would have some liberal opinions on there from time to time. Geraldo's one of the most fair-minded guys ever. Totally fair-minded. Like, he supported a whole bunch of Trump policies, but he's got some liberal leanings, and he's just an honest guy. There's something about Geraldo that I really, really, really like. I don't agree with him all the time. There's something about him that I really admire and respect. I mean, a lot. He's his own man. He's done it his own way his whole life. He is a go-getter. He's 80 years old now, and he doesn't seem it. He looks like he's 56 and acts like he's younger, and it's just, I'm a Geraldo fan. But he said, I got fired from The Five. It was awkward. He's sitting there on the set with the Fox and Friends folks. And he goes, I got fired from The Five. And I thought, well, there's really no reason to stick around here. If I'm not on that, you know, it's nice to come on your morning show and do a pop here and there. But so he's out. 50 years in broadcasting for Geraldo Rivera. It seems like it should be longer than that if he's 80. He must have started a little bit late. I think they said broadcasting. I think he was a writer before he was a broadcaster. So that probably explains it. But he should have close to 60 years as a journalist at this point. And he just said it. He's, well, they fired me from The Five. There's no reason to stay. So I've loved every minute. They did a nice tribute. I just will always, and he'll find something else to do, you know, probably do a podcast, whatever. I just always respected the guy. And there's, you know, there's just been a handful of people that I've watched and said, I want to do it that way. Geraldo pissed a lot of people off. I pissed a lot of people off, but I asked questions that mattered and that people wanted answered and felt like, even though it was just sports, it always rolled over into politics or things like a stadium vote, things like that. People, I always felt like journalism was holding people in charge accountable. That's your job. You have a unique opportunity as an average Joe to get access to the people, the elite people in power, the richest, wealthiest, most powerful people. You have access to those people to just look them in the eye and ask them any damn thing you want, even if it makes them squirm and they're uncomfortable and all that. And that was me. And that's Geraldo. I like that about Geraldo. It was Howard Cosell, for crying out loud. That, I've said it a million times. Howard Cosell was the original. He just look you right in the eye and ask you questions that knock you back on your heels. I loved it. I was like, wow, who's this guy? What's this all about? That's pretty cool. It's not personal. It's business. If you're sitting at the top of the mountain, if you own a team, if you coach a team, if you're the mayor of the city or the governor of the state, and you're wanting money from the taxpayers, I'm going to ask you whatever the hell I want. That's the job. You see some of it at the White House from the right now. You saw a lot of it from the left when Trump was president. Unfortunately, there's too many people that decide, no, I agree with this person, so I'm not going to hold their feet to the fire. There's too much of that out there. Geraldo was never that guy. He'd push anyone on the left, anyone on the right. He would get in the faces of drug dealers and criminals that would start lying to him in interviews, and he'd challenge him on things. And he just has had an amazing career. I'm a big fan of Geraldo. I know you disagree with many of his policies, and so do I. But, gosh, you got to respect that guy. The old school way of doing it is better. I'm not one of these get off my lawn guys, like everything's got to go back 50 years. But the old school way of doing it, you didn't know when Watergate was going on. You didn't know which reporters covering the story were liberal or Republican. And you didn't think they were going after Nixon because he was Republican. Something had happened wrong and they did it, which by today's standards was nothing wrong compared to what's going on today. That was tiny corruption compared to what we have today. Honestly, you know, working in concert with technology companies to rig elections is a much bigger scam than recording something at the Watergate Hotel. It is a much bigger scandal. And we're just in different times. And because it's the left that's doing it, it's okay, because it's all in the name of goodness for them and greatness for them. A couple more shout-outs here today. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. You see some critters over the holiday weekend, make the call. They're online at AdvantageTPC.com. Anywhere in the Kansas City, Lawrence area, 913-768-8989, Advantage Termite and Pest Control. The new car image. Well, here's a great gift idea, or just for yourself. Get your car detailed. You're not going to believe how beautiful it is. Buy the new car image. They'll come to you. They have mobile service. They'll do it at your office. They'll come to your house. They'll go anywhere. From Belton to Lawrence, it's thenewcarimage.com. 816-499-1470. I highly recommend springing the extra bucks for the ceramic coating. It's better than a wax. You're not going to believe how your car looks. Brad and his team at the New Car Image are simply spectacular. TheNewCarImage.com. And Smoke and Fire, the barbecue and fireplace. You got to cook out on the 3rd or 4th, right? So get in Friday or Saturday to Smoke and Fire and save big this holiday weekend on all the spices, rubs, tongs, utensils, grill cleaners, whatever it may be. He's got all the great supplies there. Or maybe look at one of those new Beefeater grills, one of the awesome grills that they have. These are the high-end grills. They last a lifetime. Fantastic stuff at Smoke and Fire, 119th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Smoke and Fire, the barbecue and fireplace. One other thing you may want to do this holiday weekend is turn it up loud and play this song that we're going to finish with today. This is terrific. It was sent to me by a teenager who listens to the podcast, and I'm very thankful for that. We have young listeners. Many people listen with their parents or grandparents and think, oh, that's interesting. And man, if we can reach those kids, this is the way to do it. That's where we want to reach them, because they're getting a whole bunch of crap at school. So it's just warms my heart when I get this sent to me. I had not seen this. This seems like something a teenager would see before I would see it. So I like that. It was on YouTube. It is a video. It's a music video. The artist is named Danny Gokey. And there's a full symphony orchestra in this. The song is called My America. And the words of this song matter. It's about 3.5 minutes long. If you want to see it, it is spectacular to watch as well. Just go to YouTube or Google My America, Danny Gokey. G-O-K-E-Y, Danny Gokey. It is My America, and it says it all this 4th of July holiday weekend. May you and your family have a great extended weekend safely celebrating our wonderful country. God bless America.
I hear them say our country's far too gone. Even claim our fathers got it wrong. But I won't give up on us, and I'll take a stand. 'Cause we can overcome, this is not the end. I still believe in us, oh America. You're still the land I love, though a little bruised up. Stars and stripes still cry liberty over evil, over tyranny. Blood poured out for our freedom. They sacrificed it all for this nation. I still believe in us, my America. Our history is full of bravery. Heroes fought for our equality. Now is the time to make peace and forgive our faults. Because united we stand, or divided we will fall. I still believe. But we gotta heal up. Lady Liberty will always be a sign of hope.